We dedicate our Shir L'Zecher Nishas HaKadoshim Shenaflo Kiddush Hashem since October 7th, and unfortunately, as we continue to hear about soldiers and people dying in terrorist attacks, we daven for our soldiers, especially the soldiers, and of course all the cholim since October 7th, and the cholim that need Yeshuas and Refuas. We also daven for the chatufim, for our dear hostages in Mirtz Hashem, the Rabbanu Shalom should take them out of their misery and let them out very soon. And we wish Besorah service for Klal Yisrael, as we don't know exactly what's happening. Iran and threats and all and so forth, and everybody's nervous and everybody this. Mirtz Hashem, it should only be good news. So the custom on Thursday night, as you know, has become Rav Zilberstein Shalos, but many weeks I do the Bills on Shalos that are in this firm. This week I had this chus of listening to his shir that he gave just a few days ago. So there's no way you're going to tell me you heard the shirim before. I hope not, because these are not, this is new stuff. He started with a chida that doesn't actually apply to Pesach this year, but let's see if any of you can get this chida. Here's the chida. The chida is as follows. Something related to food that is usher to do the entire year, but if ere Pesach shechalios b'Shabbos, you're allowed to do this. That's what he asked. Don't worry, nobody in the crowd got the answer either. Something related to food, you're not allowed to do the rest of the year. Ere Pesach shechalios b'Shabbos, you can. He says the following. Anyone want to guess? Anybody have a guess? He says the Gemara says the following thing. The Gemara says that the asafta of the ganecha, it is Dorish the Pasuk, V'yasad Zinecha V'tiroshcha, that Esev B'sadcha is for animals. The animals have special food that they eat, that's called animal food, or certain things. And an animal should never eat regular food. Specifically, this is a chiddush to me, but specifically a kelev, that even though that there is a machlokes in halacha, different rabbanim say different things. Are you allowed to have a kelev bechlal as an animal? I know it's like the most popular animal, specifically in Ramat Shiloh. I don't just see them, but I see things that they leave behind all the time. Usher, he says, but a kelev can be man's best friend up until the point you're not allowed to give them your food. Now, I've seen this happen all the time where people, you know, throw food to them. So Rav Zilberstein says this is paskin lahalacha, that an ochel ben adam that is no longer being used may be different. That may not even be called food. And in fact, for the halachas of Shemitah, it's very interesting, for the halachas of Shemitah, there is a famous law that when you have something that's Kedusha Shvius, as you may remember, when you bought Kedusha Shvius, was it 2 years ago? So we had a very interesting debate over what's considered to be, what do you have to throw out, or what do you have to put in two bags, and let it out. So in the yeshiva, they were very machben to use only fruits of Kedusha Shvius and vegetables, but that created a big problem, especially for those that serve there. And that is that when you have leftovers, you have to put it in a special Shemitah garbage. So Rav Asher Weiss actually questioned whether or not you actually have to do this. Why? Because most people would consider, I don't know if you've ever done this before, let's say you go to a restaurant. This happened to me this week, that's why I'm laughing. You go to a restaurant, and you're sitting at the table, and you're starving. But you're on a Ahavat Yisrael, you're on a yeshiva guy's budget. Sorry, you're on a, Toyota's Moshe, what are you in? You're on a yeshiva budget, and you don't have a lot of money. So you go to the pizza store, and nebuch, you can only get a slice. You get a slice. Next to you, there's a very large family. And they're obviously from America, because why? They bought like four pies for like four people. What do they care? They want to support Israel. Four pies. And every kid eats one piece, two piece, whatever. And you see there's literally like six pieces of a pie left. Six slices. Now, you saw the table. They didn't, right? So the question is, would you eat that pizza or not? So most normal people probably would not eat the pizza. Most people would be like, ugh, that's this. Of course not. You know, if they left the Coke Zero bottle on the table, most people, unless you're me, you're like, most people won't take it. So Rav Asher Weiss tainted that may not be subject to Kedusha Shvius, because that's called garbage now. What are you about to do with it? Throw it in the garbage. Again, maybe the pizza is not such a great example, because clearly if somebody took a bite out of it, yes, there will be crazy people that might eat it. But most people are not like that. I've been to restaurants before in Nebuch where, let's say there's leftover French fries on the guy's plate, and when the guy's cleaning it up, he's hungry, you know, he takes a fry or two. Okay, that's not the normal thing. Right, that's the worst. If you see that, that's really bad. So the question is, yeah. It's not a question of stealing or not. You're asking another question, which is an awesome question. I'll just tell you this question. Maybe it's got to be a Rav Zilberstein question also. I love how we... that's exactly the question of Yeyush. Listen to this question. This is a real story that happened. I don't remember who asked... I don't think it was Rav Zilberstein, because I think it happened actually in a restaurant in Teaneck. So maybe I'm wrong. I think the guy says a restaurant in Teaneck. I don't know. I apologize. I don't remember where Herzer Shaila. I thought it was Rav Zilberstein, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, they a lot of restaurants have this thing where they don't have a liquor license, right? In Israel, every place has, I don't know, everybody can have alcohol. Like, you go into, like, Bleecker, and they're like, oh, you want wine with that? Like, Bleecker Cafe? Fine. So in America, you have to have a liquor license. So what you can do is you can bring your own wine and then show it to the Mashgiach, and then you can have it. So this guy goes into the restaurant. He loves alcohol. And he says, I can't believe, I didn't know this was the rule. Ugh, forget it. It's not worth it. I'm not going all the way down the block to the book. Anyway, he's telling his wife, he goes, look at that table. You don't know this, but I know wine. That bottle of wine that this guy bought, $200 bottle of wine. Crazy, the whole table, this, that, whatever. So he sees him giving it to everybody. He's like, maybe whatever. So he thinks he's going to get a cup of wine. So you know what he says to the guy? He says to the guy, by the way, good choice of wine. He goes, oh, thank you very much. Doesn't give him any. Anyway, the night's over, and they finish the bottle of wine. The guy says, you know what? I'm going to run out and get another bottle of wine for everybody. We're having such a good time. And this time, he buys a $500 bottle of wine. He opens up the bottle of wine. It's already dessert time. Hardly anybody has any of it. And there's literally, like, more than three-quarters of a bottle left. So this guy saw everything. Nobody drank from the bottle. He looks at his wife. He goes, I'm chalashing. Like, I'd be chalashing for Coke Zero. I'm chalashing for this wine. I got to try it. I never tried it. But $500 bottle of wine. Crazy. So he's looking around. He looks at the waiter. And he says, are you cleaning that table soon? He's like, yes, sir. I'm going to clean it soon. He goes, do you mind if I take the wine? The waiter's like, I don't care. He takes the bottle of wine. Pours himself a nice glass. The guy maybe even brings him a wine glass. He says, fine. Drinks the wine, puts it down. Literally, as he puts it down, the guy walks in. He's looking at his table. The guy that looks at this guy says, "What do you take my wine for?" He's like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I just went to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom and I was going to get the. What are you doing? Who are you?" So it's a Shiloh whether or not he has to pay for the wine, because for sure there was no Yiush there. It's not really what a question is now, but good. I like to do inner questions. Very interesting, Shiloh, right? All of a sudden, we got an interesting Shiloh. Is it Yiush? It's not. That's a different case. Clearly, it's Hefker. When I leave, again, you could be right, but the pizza case.
Oh, and the Hanami.
So, no one's gonna, what? Why? But it's interesting. Meaning, think about the case for a second, right? The guy got up from the table. Even the waiter thought. I mean, I'm adding the waiter thing to make it even better. Even the waiter thought he was done. It looked like he was done. Turns out the guy was in the bathroom. I mean, even if the guy wasn't in the bathroom, the guy went into his car and said, oh my God, $500 bottle of wine, am I crazy? I'll go get it. It's his. He didn't. He certainly have you. Right? So let's go back to the pizza case. Let's just say, this wasn't my case for today. What? Yeah, we'll get to the first case. But in the pizza case, let's say I say I'm crazy and I took a slice. I'm the yeshiva bacher. I take the slice and the guy walks in with the pizza box and he's like, I just went to get a pizza. You know? Okay, so it has to be a certain amount of time where you know for sure they're leaving fine.
What would be the answer?
So, Rav Asher, so what's the answer to the question? I think to the question that was asked, I thought it was Rav Zilberstein, but maybe it wasn't. So, I think Rav Zilberstein paskened in that case that he would have to pay the money to the guy because there was no yush, and it was within a sensible amount of time for him that he didn't come back. That's what I think. In any case, in Rav Asher Weiss's case, this was an army case. My son told me this. That in the army they have Kedusha Shvia stuff. Rav Asher Weiss Paskin, there's an army, very strange army rule. There's an army rule that after you're done eating, all of the food that was eaten or not eaten must be thrown in the garbage. Now, some people think that this is a rule for poison, we're not allowed to have leftovers, we don't want soldiers getting sick. The real reason is that people used to pay off, this is really the true story, people used to pay off the generals and the colonels and and they would pick up the food and sell it. I don't know what they would do with it. So they don't do that. So Rav Asher Weiss said, you don't have to do Kiddush Shviyas here because it's considered to be food that's going to waste and it's being thrown out. Therefore, that food, I think, is mutter. Rav Zilberstein didn't agree with me. Rav Zilberstein said that it's an aveira to throw food out. Okay, but people throw food out. You have half, right? You know, your eyes are bigger than your mouth, right? And you pack on the thing, a whole thing of fries, and you can't eat it. You can't return it. So you throw it in the garbage. That may be mutter. But says Rav Zilberstein, if we hold from this case that you're not allowed to feed an animal regular human food, and it's not like going to the garbage, and now what happens? It's Erev Pesach, Shchalis B'Shavis, you want your chametz food, so your wife made, again, it's not Pesach yet, this is totally mutter, for your morning meal, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and you're having your fleishig meal, and it's rice, it was barley, something really chametz, barley and meat, whatever it is, doesn't matter, something chametz, pasta, whatever, you can't finish it, so what would you do? So if you didn't have a dog, give it to the dog, right? Right? So he says, in that case, for sure it's mutter. Even though normally it's not mutter, it's mutter in this case. Tashbisu, it's a mitzvah daraisa to do, right? He says, there's nothing to do with it. Now, a lot of rabbanim say that there's a lot you can do with it. This happens a lot. Erev Pesach Shchalis B'Shavuos happens a lot. So what do you do with the extra challah rolls? I once had this case. My mom will laugh. We always remember this. It was Erev Pesach Shchalis B'Shavuos. It was the last year before we made Aliyah. So this has to be 16 years ago. And we were by my parents. And it was Erev Pesach Shchalis B'Shavuos. My mother's like, we're just going to have egg masa. That's the usual custom that people do. I said, Ma, don't worry about it. I could eat challah rolls. Buy exactly whatever. I forgot what I said. 6 challah rolls, whatever it is, I'll eat it. Trust me. Tashbisu, highest level, I'll eat everything. You know, I'm a tashbisu guy. I'll come to your houses if you want. I'll do tashbisu. I'll eat all your chametz. Fine. So what happened? That night, I got a terrible, I didn't know at that time. I had a gallbladder attack, and I was very, very not well. And the first thing my mother said, what do we do with all the challah rolls, whatever? So what's halacha? What do you do? So some people throw it in the toilet. I think this is a not nice thing. I think it's a chil Hashem. But some people do that. They'll throw it in the toilet because the toilet's going to leave the rishos. Some people say that the garbage can that you put outside your house is not considered to be in your rishos, especially if you pour a little economic on it or you pour something that doesn't make it into food anymore. That would be totally mutter. But Rav Zilberstein said, no, you don't have to do that. Just give it to the animal. That would be fine. Right? So now something that's usher becomes something that's min atar, the highest form of tashbisu. That's a cute thing. So he says that I once had a question. He goes, I was guest in a hotel in the somewhere. Let's just say Be'er Sheva. Makes me feel good. And he says, I was guest there. And the waiter comes up to me and the waiter says, I have a big problem. Maybe you could help me. He's like, sure. I'm the Shiloh guy, right? So he says to Rav Zilberstein, this guy just ordered at the other table a huge steak. And he says, one for me and one for Fluffy. He says, one for who? Fluffy, my dog. No, dog's not name. That's a cat's name. For Lassie, for whatever you call your dog, right? So he's like, what do you mean? So he goes up to Rav Zilberstein and he says, am I allowed to make a steak for an animal? I thought you're not allowed to. Isn't that halacha? He says, 100% that's halacha. The Asev is for them. So he says, this is what you do. Bring the two steaks and say, sir, these are both for you. What you do with it is not my problem. Okay, fine, very cute. That's what he said. That's the halacha, he says. This is leftovers. He says, it's fine. That's okay. He could use the leftovers for whatever he wants. Now, we're, of course, not talking about a case where it's pekuach nefesh. He says, nowadays, during the war, during the war, they have these amazing dogs. These dogs have been, I'm being serious now, they should get a tremendous amount of covet. These canines have been doing, we once in yeshiva, I remember we once visited the canine unit in the army. It's unbelievable, but they're literally, they risk their lives, they go into the tunnels, it's unbelievable. So in order to give them treats, they want to build them up, they want to make sure they're strong, they actually feed them high level steaks and all these different things. It makes them feel good, it gives them, the koyach, if you will. So there, Zilberstein says, obviously we're not talking about that case. If it's a case of suffak pekuach nefesh, maybe pekuach nefesh, of course you can give your animal whatever you want. That's clearly not what we're talking about. That for sure would be mutter. Fine. Case number two. We have a very famous, during the time, specifically during this year, we have kamcha de pascha, right? Kimcha de pascha, which is basically giving over, used to literally be the chitim, so that people will be able to buy, right? We call it, in my language, we call it maus chitim, right? You give money for people so that they have for Yantif, for Pesach. The question is as follows. The Gemara says, if somebody's mevakesh, kimcha de pascha, can you get it, right? Are you allowed to give it in every single case? What do I mean? The case that he brings is as follows. What happens in a case where somebody is noider, right? He makes a neder. The person was noider that he's going to give the gmaus chitim, and the Gemara says that if he doesn't give it, you know how bad is it? It's a neder. Even if he doesn't even lose lashon neder, he says his wife will die. His wife will die. So he says, how can it be? They said to Rav Steinman, how can we say this? What a terrible thing to say. Really? The person, right? I don't know if this is unique by all stuff. He says, but dafka to this. So they asked Rav Steinman. He said, no. You have to understand the way that it works. It has to be a case where the woman was mukhan lamut. What does that mean, she's mukhan lamut? It means it's a case where she did a lot of averus. So unfortunately, she had a gezar din. But what happens? She has a husband. The husband's always davening, he's giving stuck, he's doing maisim tovim. He's literally keeping her alive. Obviously, it could be the opposite as well. So therefore, she's not going to die. But if he lies and he's no, he's stuck and he doesn't give it, then she's going to die. Aval. He says, but if the isha is b'li'aveira, she says sadikah. She's learning Messiah Shoshim every day. She's learning Taita. She says Tehillim the whole thing. She says, lo mukhan lamut, lo zokokla. Because it doesn't apply to this guy, of the stucker guy. You don't have to worry about that case, right? Very interesting. He says, that's not an idin b'isha k'shera. That's what Rav Steinman says. He says, you don't have to worry about it. Okay, that's a very quick case. Is that my car? So, case number three. That's not a great case, but okay, that's none of the case is a case. This is a very interesting case. What do you do in the following case? You have a father and a mother. Unfortunately, they're not yet following Torah mitzvahs. They don't follow Torah mitzvahs. Father and mother don't follow Torah mitzvahs. So now, they're from Russia originally. Father and mother are from Russia. What's the problem? Big problem. The father cannot live without his whiskey. He loves the whiskey. Not vodka, a lot of times is kosher lebezach. This is mamish whiskey, which is made out of wheat. Mamish, right? This is probably one of the reasons why we sell our chametz. It's probably based on this. Very interesting, why do we allow the selling of chametz? So the easy answer is a hefsed merubah. So the Gemara clearly speaks about, it depends, are you doing it b'ramaut, right? Is it a fake? Is it something that's not a real sale? If the sale is harama, right, that's the Gemara's law, harama, what's harama? Oh, come on, everybody knows that this is fake. Everybody knows the sale is fake, right? If you really believe that, the sale is fake. But if you really believe, you go to Rav Bagno, who's obviously, you're not selling your chametz to Rav Bagno because he's Jewish, he's going to sell it on your behalf, and you go to Rav Bagno, and Rav Bagno says to you a lot of crazy things, like, where are you going to be for Pesach? You're not going to be home? Who has your key? Write down your phone number, write down the phone number. It's real, and then you sign a real document that is, a document in Eretz Yisrael will be a real document, it's a real legal document. If it's not real, and that's why when they actually sell it to the guy, they do all these different kinyanim, so that's a real thing, simtuta, right, the shaking of the hands, every kinyan you can imagine, so it's real. If you think it's harama, if you think, then you cannot sell your chametz. But what's the idea of selling your chametz? So it used to be that people owned a lot of whiskey, and it was hundreds and hundreds of dollars, or thousands of shekel, or a lot of zlotys and rubles, and therefore what? Therefore, so in this case, the father will not sell his chametz because he can't live without whiskey. So now he goes to Rav Zilberstein. What do? I can't look at my father all yantif drinking mamish chametz ein kamohu. What can I do? Now you're going to say to me, "Let him." You could sell his chametz on his behalf. You can't sell his chametz on his behalf. Number one, you can't sell chametz to somebody who's going to eat the chametz. This is an interesting shaila. You don't have this in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. In America, in Chutz Laaretz, so you have sometimes a problem. You have a problem that we have, of course, a din of chametz she'olo v'pesach. What if you have a store that is owned by a Jew and he didn't sell his chametz? You're not allowed to shop there after Pesach. Some people say 30 days. Some people say till Lag Bomer. Right? You're not allowed to shop there until after Pesach. So now, excuse me, what happens? So now you have a bit of a problem. So what happens in the following case? This actually happened where I used to live in the Five Towns. You had a guy who owned a supermarket. He sold his supermarket to a Jew. Sold his supermarket to a guy. He was a Jew. He sold it to a guy. And what happened? He was open all of Pesach. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, that's not a sale. That's ridiculous. Lubavitch Rebbe says, well, he had in his mind when he sold it that he wanted, every Jew has in the mind good things. He had good intentions. Almost like, you know, Almanashu Tzaddik. He married somebody, Almanashu Tzaddik. He says, well, Safi Kedushin. Why? Because maybe he had, he Hurei Tshuva. So maybe he had a Hurei Tshuva, and he says, maybe it's Chal, maybe it's not. There's a Machlekes. In our community, they didn't allow it. And then the guy realized he wasn't getting business, and then he sold it actually the right way. He sold it to, Mamish sold the entire store to a guy, and he wasn't involved. And that was allowed. So he asked Rav Zilberstein, what do I do in this case? I want to get rid of the risky. So Rav Zilberstein said, I'm going to tell you something very, very difficult. You have to steal the chametz. Steal it. Steal the bottle of whiskey. And when you steal the bottle of whiskey, what's going to happen? You're going to steal the bottle of whiskey from the father, not him knowing, obviously. And he's going to come the next morning, what is the bottle of whiskey? What happened to my vie? He's going to be very upset. And he's going to say, someone stole it. And what's going to happen when he says someone stole it? Obviously, someone stole it. I'm never getting it back. Ah, perfect. What happened then? Yush. So now it doesn't, Yush, shkoyach. Then he could sell the chametz. Because in Yush, it's hefker. And now the chametz can be sold without a problem. I'm not really sure what he's doing during Pesach itself. I'm not really sure. I don't know. He says, but then you could definitely be machzored after Pesach because it wasn't really technically his. They say, oh my God, look, I found it. I beat up this guy in the street. I found him. That would be okay. I don't know. Maybe during Pesach you could convince him to have kosher, Trump vodka. I don't know. Whatever you could get. He said, we'll have to figure it out. So obviously this is a case that even the son could lie in this case, right? We know that there are certain cases, we've discussed this before, where all of a sudden lying becomes a mitzvah gedolah, right? There's certain times, Mishum Shalom Bayis, that we allow you to lie. Famously, where Chazal tells us that even Kaviyachal, the Rabbonu Shalom lied because when Sarah, what, right, Baliza Kane, right, so right, she laughed at it, right. So even then you can. So then he asks a good question. That's true by Sarah. What about Rachel? It says that Rachel stole from her father, but it was right what she did. So he says, Rav Nissen Karelis, he asked Rav Nissen this question. He says, why was Rachel Nenash, what'd she do wrong? She was stealing for good reason. So he said that she didn't ask the Pesach Hador, the Rav of the generation, her husband, Yaakov Avinu. Why didn't she ask Yaakov, what should I do? And if he would have said it's okay, then it would have been a mitzvah and she wouldn't have been Nenash. You don't just do things by yourself. You have to ask a Rav. It's an important thing here. You can't just steal your father's liquor. Fine. Good. Very good question. Excellent. Then you would have a problem just going to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, that's a good question. Very good. Very good. Question number four. What? I know. Yeah, it's interesting. Again, it's Rav Nissen Karelis, so we don't play around with the words of Rav Nissen Karelis, but you're 100% right. Fine. Next case. Case number four. What happens in the following case? Oh, this is a good case. I like this case. Maybe it's a chida. How is it possible that I have chametz in my possession and I sell it to a guy, but I'm not allowed to sell this chametz to a guy? Something like that, he asked. Chayv lisrofetze. So he says, I'll tell you the case. He said, he quotes the Sefer Agudas Aizov, says the following case. There was a person who was very, very sick, and he needed a skula, and he was looking around for skulot. I don't know this to be true, and this Rav Zilberstein's brother-in-law is Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he says, when you go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky's house, what is he going to give you? He had nothing, he would live a very, very modest life. This guy says he's dying, this and that, I need a skula, this and that. So Rav Chaim gave him a challah. He says, my wife baked this challah, should be a skula for you. So he didn't tell him that he should eat it. So he this was his coveted challah. I don't know how the challah didn't get, I don't understand the whole story, how the challah didn't get bad, maybe it just happened. And it was Rav Chaim's challah. So even, I'm just making up a story. Let's just say he put it in a beautiful glass case for nothing to happen to it, with silver around it, a beautiful case. So now it's Pesach, so he knows it's challah. Right, let's just say it's still roi le'achila. So question, by the way, kids, I don't know if they do this here in Eretz Yisrael, but very common in America, they make macaroon pictures. They take macaroni. They take pasta, and they give them like little pasta, and they color it, and they put glue on it, and they make a nice little painting, whatever, right? Take the, you know, the ziti ones, right? Or macaroni, whatever, and you make a. So now, all of a sudden, the guy sells his chametz. He comes to the night of Pesach. He sees on his wall, he's got his daughter's beautiful thing, the Mona Lisa, whatever it is, and he looks at it and he says, "Oh my God!" Right? So it's a shiloh. Do we call it lo kechilas kelov anymore? Then maybe it's not. People ask the shiloh. But Rav Zilberstein says, "My brother-in-law's challah, he doesn't want to wait. You're not allowed to sell something to a guy that you know you want back." You have to be willing. We talked about harama before. When you sell your chametz, you have to be 100% sure that you don't care that you're not getting it back. You have to be in your mind, I may not get it back. Now, what's the difference? What do I mean? What happens in the following case? I sell all my chametz in my house, right? Let's just say, let's make up a story, right? Oh, but listen. Let's just make it very easy. I know exactly what I have in my house. I have, 14 pretzels, and, 14 bags of pretzels, and 25 beers, and 14 whiskeys, and I know exactly what I have. So now what happens? Now the rabbi calls me after Yontif. He says, "I have a terrible story for you. Out of the 1,000 people that I sold my chametz to, Meshugana, when I'm Moitzei Yontif, the guy says, I don't want anybody's back, but I took one out of 1,000. I want this guy's chametz. I want to buy it." He looks at his, Hartstein. So he says, "Here's 1,000 shekels, shkoyach." He buys the chametz. So I call, and I say to him, "You lost all your chametz. The guy's taking it. It's legal." So what do I say? "I don't care. Just give me the money. I'll buy it. I don't care what pretzels I buy." In fact, yeah. But that's the assumption of what when we sell our chametz, is that he's going to buy it for an equal value. So, however, and this is a very interesting shaila. I didn't think about this, because you may have. I'm selling my whiskey. No. Let's just say this is not chametz in my house. But let's say I have a bottle of wine. I'm not a big drinker, but I have some interesting bottles of wine in my house. So one bottle of wine that we have is from when we got married. We came here on our honeymoon. It was 1998, and President Clinton had been the first guest at a new hotel called the Hilton of Yerushalayim, which is no longer. It's now the David Citadel. And because he was the first guest, we were the week after the president came. We were the second guest. And in our room, they had a special bottled wine in honor of us. So my wife and I said, in Emir Tzoshem, in 25 years, our 50th anniversary, we will open this disgusting bottle of wine. Probably tastes terrible. And we had a beautiful bottle of champagne to commemorate the 50th year of the State of Israel. Right? You can see how old we are. So, fine. So, comes along, if that was true, if this was whiskey, and I said, this is the special whiskey that was given to me by the Baba Sali, that may be a problem. I want that whiskey back. Now, you could tina that maybe the challah, the whiskey of the Baba Sali and the challah of Rav Chaim, they're not replaceable. You can give me all the money in the world. I want this. Right? If a person, I have a letter, and the letter says, "Wow, look at this letter I got. It's signed by the Chafetz Chaim." And I'm like, "No, it's not. It's not real. Like, no, it's real. Please don't touch it." And I rip it up. You can't replace the letter. You can give me $10,000. I don't want $10,000. I want the letter. So if Zilberstein tainas that if I have no intention, I want that challah back. So that's the harama. It's a fake sale. And therefore, it's usher. I need this alive. I want it now. He says, that's usher. That's the concept of what we call rutzav bikiyumo. I want it to be. I need it to be alive. I need this to be alive. That's over and it's a daraisa. I have to mamish think ofradara, even though I have all the chametz sitting in my house now. Literally, it's in my kitchen, but it's all taped up, and it says on chametz, don't go here, chametz. And there's rubber bands and the little thing, or I put it in a room and nobody's allowed in the room. But if I want that, that's lokadin. And it would be usher. And therefore, there's a possibility to have chametz that is usher because of the way that you set it up. It would be usher. This concept of rotzav kimoy is a very interesting shaila that I did with my son, Yonatan, which I think is very, very interesting. I'll just quickly say this shaila, because this is not this week's shaila. It's Rav Zilberstein shaila. This is a Maisa Shaya Kachaya. I'm making this up. This is from Rav Zilberstein's paper, Chshukei Chemed, Avodah Zara Sam Ches, I think maybe something like that. Listen to the case. May Shishaya Kachaya. You have, I'm making it for our times. You have, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a little bit of a war going on. We don't feel, it's a war. So part of the war, as you remember, is these people called the Houthis, right? You have H's, everybody's H. Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas, right? All H's. So the H people, one of the H peoples, they were the ports, they were bombing the ports. So now in order to get stuff to Ithaca, like all the way around, takes a long time. So now there's a ship that's coming with all the stuff on it. And the ship pumped is coming when? It was supposed to come a month ago. Because of the delays, it's about to come. It's on its way here. It's coming to Ashdod. It's going to land on Ashdod. Second day of Pesach. Meaning Chol HaMoed, the first day of Chol HaMoed. What's in it? Filled Oreo cookies. Okay. So now what's the problem? I own the Ashdod place that they're going to put it. I can't get Hanah from it. So if Zoshan asks, what do I do? What do I do? So we know that there are three Isurim, Chametz Tzeres Lava Pesach. There's Bal Yirai, Bal Yimotzei. And there's Isur Hanah. Isur Hanah is the most unique one because we only have the Isur Hanah by Basar V'Cholov and by Isur Avodah Zarah. I'm not going to get Hanah. The Bal Yirai, Bal Yimotzei, I'm not so worried about. Why? Because you're not going to get the lift, you know, let's say the big container, and it has Oreo cookies, and you're going to break the lock and start eating. Bal Yirai, Bal Yimotzei, right, you go into we don't have this in Eretz Yisrael as much, right? You go to America, and you want to buy eggs, or whatever. You want to buy milk. Something that's totally mutter to buy. Or you want to buy kosher Pesach apples, apple juice, or whatever. And you walk in there, oh, bread. We don't think you're going to eat the bread, because you have to pay, it's not going to happen. But if in your house you walk in and the chametz has been sold and you walk into your house and you open the, that's why everything has to be locked up because we're afraid. You eat chametz most of the year, right? 300 and how many days? 50 something days a year, right? The 8 days a year. So we're afraid. So the 58 days you eat chametz, you could eat chametz. Depends America. Depends if it's, Shabbos. Okay, fine. So comes along Rav Zilberstein says, that's not a problem. The Isur Hanah is going to be the problem. You're getting Hanah because he's paying you every day to be on this land. Oh, and then he said, the Ratz Bekimah, that's why I'm bringing it up now, is also a problem. You want this, let's just say it like this. Let's say the lift came, and as the guy's lifting it up, the container, and he drops it, and it falls into the water. Nabuch, like they had in Baltimore. Falls into the water. Guess what? You're not getting any money now. But I brought it. It doesn't matter. It's not parked there now. Ratz Bekimo. I want. But and if it's an empty, what if the container was empty? Nobody's storing an empty container. I want there to be Oreo cookies. I don't care what's in there. You're right. But Ratz Bekimo. Anyway, there's different ways he could potentially get out of it. He could ask the guy, "I don't want any money." You could just store it here because you'll get in trouble because he has to allow everything to come in. Okay, fine. But anyway, in this case that I just said, he says, "Lo kedas lo kedin." He says, it's fine. He says, you're not allowed to do this. Because really, you're supposed to burn it. I don't care. It's offered the Alma. I don't care if somebody replaces it with something else. But if I need this, then it's a problem. Oh. It's a problem. That's what he says. So, next case. This will probably be our last case for today. What? Sure. Okay, so Mamash will be the last one. Let's see. Here's the I don't like this case because I don't understand how this happened, but okay. There was a guy that used to sell the chametz to all the time. Okay? This is how I understand the story. If it's not true, correct me another week. This is how I understand the story. Okay? There was a guy who was the official guy who Rav Yoshev would sell chametz to. I'm assuming a lot of people went to Rav Yoshev and sold the chametz. Rav Yoshev, again, is Rav Zilberstein's father-in-law. What?
Rav Zilberstein's connected to everybody?
To everybody, yeah, basically. He actually got remarried, so it's his first wife, but that's not important. So he has the following case. Every year, when this guy would sell the chametz, he would spend like an hour with Rav Yoshev because he thought he was the coolest rabbi in the world. He's not Jewish, but he was so holy. He was so, Rav, I forgot how old he was, but when Rav Eliyashiv was like 96, He had a heart problem and he needed surgery. Basically, there was no doctor in Eretz Yisrael that would do the surgery because nobody does surgery on a 96-year-old person. They don't do it. It's too dangerous. The most famous doctor in the world happens to be from America, not Jew, did the surgery. He said, I'll do the surgery. I'm the expert. I'll do it. And Baruch Hashem saved his life. And he didn't, Rabbi Yosef didn't know any. He says, Rabbi Yosef said one thing to me. Danke. Like, thank you. That's all he did. Thank you. Thank you. So he also tells the story about, he goes, I couldn't communicate with him because I don't understand Hebrew, but he's such a holy man. Oh, so. So this non-Jew who sells the chametz is loved, and he didn't tell Rabbi Yosef this, but he had a little surprise for him. His surprise was, he's becoming a Jew. It's a very weird case. Guess when he decided to become a Jew? No, that would be good. Chol HaMoed Pesach. When he sold him the chametz, he was a full-fledged guy, totally mutter. In the middle of Pesach, we don't understand how this is possible, people called out in the shir and said, Rav Zilberstein, this isn't possible. No based in sitting on a Chol HaMoed, and nobody knew the story, nobody knew that he sold the chametz. He didn't know, and by this time he's learned, nobody becomes a Jew like this, right? You have to go through a whole Geirus process, why it has to be, I don't understand the story. I don't want to say it's a Bubba Maisa, but it's hard to believe the story. Right. Right, and he's going to say, why do you love Judah? Oh, Ravelia, she's not going to call her. The story doesn't make sense to you, but okay, fine. So now what happens? All the chametz is usher. The thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars or shekel of chametz, everybody's chametz now you can't have. This has happened in Eretz Yisrael a few times. The Rabbanut HaRashit has done an amazing job. They have a very special, there was once an article, I'm being serious now, in the Jerusalem Post, about the guy that sells, he's a Ger Toshav, and he's not a, meaning, sorry, he does Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, like he's the real thing. There's a question whether or not you should sell Chinin Bakarka, but he was like the real deal. And he owns a lot of land, he's very wealthy, so he could really, the sale really is real and all things. So there's a lot of people I don't trust. In fact, I don't think we sell our chametz with the Rabbanut HaRashit, if I'm not mistaken here. Rabbi Agamo sells with Rabbi Davidovich. Another whole thing. People do different things. So there was one community, I think in Ramat Shlomo, if I'm not mistaken, in Yerushalayim, where they sold their chametz. And in the middle of Pesach, the guys were totally mutter. The guys walking around, they see the guy, and they see him eating matzah. They say to him, you got all of our chametz. What are you selling matzah? What are you eating matzah for? No, nobody wants to eat matzah. He says, why am I eating matzah? I don't know really. But I remember my grandfather ate matzah, and my great-grandfather ate matzah, and Aaron, and they find out his great-grandfather, his mother's father, and his they all were Jewish. Turned out he was Jewish, and it was a big problem, right? The chametz is also, same type of thing, right? The guy runs away with the chametz, but here is mamash a Jew. Turned out to be a Jew. Okay. They thought they checked. They didn't do a good enough job. In Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut HaRashit does a great job, apparently. I don't know. I don't want to say anything against it. I don't know the story, but apparently that's the story that they tell. So I don't know how the story is possible, but it happened. So all the chametz is usher now. It's all usher. So what are you going to do? There's no question, really. Right? Because all the money is basically nothing. Because he's now over in Isra V'Rat Torah that he has all the money. Everybody, yeah.
Can you find
a heter? The heter is don't become a Jew. Wait till afterwards. whatever. As I said, the story doesn't make much sense. As people were calling out and saying, "How can it be?" Whatever. Okay. Very difficult. How did they not check this? How did they not know? He spoke out a case. They found that the mom was Jewish. Fine. So he said the following thing. If the Beis Din was smart, let's just say he says nothing doing, I want to go through the Geirus. So obviously the easy answer would have been halacha, what could have happened, it's too late now. The guy, he's still a guy, on Chol HaMoed Pesach says, I'm about to become a Jew. Wait a minute, I have to do one last thing. Sells it to another guy, the chametz. Then it's fine. Even though Rav Eliyashiv doesn't know that the chametz, it doesn't matter. It's not chametz Yolov of Pesach. That would be totally mutter. He could wait till after Pesach. and he says that we have to be very careful when it comes to when it comes to these cases. When it comes to these cases. He says, it reminds me of a case, and we'll end with this case. He said, a woman once came to me. He's the Rav of Mane Yeshua Hospital. She came to me. She said she clearly was an Arab. And she says, Rav, I need to talk to you. He says, okay. He says, I just escaped from Gaza. My mother is a Jew. As true as the last case I just told about. He said, I just escaped. My mother was Jewish. Nebuchadnezzar Aleinu, she was taken to Gaza. This is not a story that just happened. She was taken against her will to Gaza, and I'm the child. My father is an Arab. My mother's Jewish. But they're going to kill me. I know that if I leave this hospital, I'm dead. I want to be a Jew. I want to live my life as a Jew. So Rav Zilberstein went to, I don't know who he is, Dr. Rothschild, who was the head of the hospital, and he said in those days, this is how it shows you how many years ago, the nurses wear like almost like a costume. They really look like an old day nurses. So he said, would you let me dress her up as a nurse? She wouldn't be a nurse. She just would help out. But the Arabs won't know. They're not going to realize this is the same woman from God. She's going to look like a different person. And Rav Rothschild said, to save her life, I'll do it. So he says, okay. He says, so he saved her life. He says, one Shabbos, I'm in Tzfas. And all of a sudden, this woman, I see this woman, this woman thanked me, whatever, but she could hardly speak a word of Hebrew. She spoke Arabic. So, turned out that he's in Sfat, and all of a sudden he hears the following thing. Harav, 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 screaming, harav, harav, harav. He turns around and goes, she goes, you don't know who I am? I'm Fatima. You don't remember me? I'm the Arab girl from many years ago. He says, oh my God. He says, what happened? So I'll tell you the story. He says, after a number of years that I actually learned to be a nurse, I actually was a real nurse, they knew it was safe. But they said, you know, this is a central hospital. It's right near Tel Aviv. It's not a good idea. They said, we have a place for you to go. Go to Sfat. And she went to Sfat, and actually they did research. But she didn't have, I don't think she had, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he said, she didn't have to be Megayer. Because she was actually Jew. They found out who her mother was. And her mother was Jewish and found to be Jewish 100%. They did the research. And she married Breslov Chassid. And they lived in Sfat happily ever after. He says, what an amazing story about Geir, whatever. Anyway, okay, those are the questions for today. We'll do question and answer now.